Heard a message this week on Psalms 2, and I thought maybe I would amplify on that. There were some good thoughts. And I want to read Psalms 2, beginning with verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I want to look at some thoughts on kiss the Son, the significance of the kissing of the Son. Obviously, the kings of the earth and the judges of the earth were not kissing the Son. And if we look in verses 1, 2, and 3, we see a little bit of what it means not to kiss the Son. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The opposite of taking counsel against the Lord is to kiss the Lord. That is to take counsel from Him. Another thing is that we do not want to cast aside His control in our life, His restrictions, His band upon our boundary, I guess you could put it that way. And the Lord does put boundaries on us if we will let Him. So I want to reflect a little bit on what does it mean to kiss the Son. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, is where Elijah is depressed because he feels like he's the only one left. And here we find the Lord talking to him and telling him, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed, had not kissed him. Kissing the Son has to do with worship. Worshiping the Son. And Hosea is also a reference to idols, where it says that those men that made the idols and sacrificed to the idols were to kiss the calf, or the idol was the calf. Let me just read that to you. And now they sin more and more and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. So to kiss the Son means to worship the Son. When we think about worship, we think about honor. We're just thinking about the etymology of the word worship. It has to do with worth. When we worship somebody or something, we place a value of worth on that object or that person. And so when we think of worship, we are thinking about the value of the individual. I looked the word worship up in the dictionary, and of course it had to do with religious activity of worshiping worshiping a god or a god. But there was also a reference in there from England where people carry the title of worship. They refer to them as His worship. That's not a very prominent thing, but they do have those titles. It's a title of honor, a title of respect. And so we are to kiss the Son. It has to do with worship. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 7, we have another reference to kiss. where it says that Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him, and they asked each other their welfare, and they came into the tent. Kissing the son has to do with obeisance, submission. It has to do with respect. I believe that Moses respected his son-in-law. His father-in-law. And because of his respect and his honor of his father-in-law, he kissed him and, of course, invited him into his home. Another reference to a kiss is found in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, where it says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head," that is, Saul's head, "and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" Another place that is referenced to Samuel and Saul is in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 35. And it says that Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. And then in verse 16, which is the next verse down, chapter 16, verse 1, which is the next verse down, it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" The implication here is that Samuel anointed Saul king. And when, because Samuel would not give up his commitment to Saul, he mourned for him, even though the Lord had rejected him from being king. So the kissing of Saul by Samuel was a kiss of commitment. Samuel was committed to Saul, who was king. We don't find Samuel kissing David when he anointed him king. But we do find Samuel kissing Saul. Part of kissing the son has to do with commitment to the son. Regardless of the circumstances in life, we don't change. We're unmovable. So kissing the son has to do with commitment to the son. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20, it says that he left, this is Elisha, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" I think this implies respect for his parents. Elisha had respect for his parents, and he wanted to honor them in going back and sort of closing up any loose details in their relationship. And so therefore we find that Elisha had respect for his parents. I think kissing the son has to do with respect for who he is. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the only begotten Son of God. And we need to respect him for who he is. A kiss also implies affection. I think of Jacob when he met Rachel in the field and watered her sheep. It says that Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. A kiss has to do with affection and emotions. I listed several places here where the word, where a kiss is found in the verse. And associated with a kiss is weeping. When I think about Joseph falling upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. Jacob loved his father. And I think he did more than love his father. He honored his father. He respected his father. But here we find Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. We think about Joseph and his brothers in Genesis 45:15, where it says, "Moreover, he kissed all his brethren, and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Not only did Joseph love his brothers, but to love his brothers, he had to do what? He had to forgive them. He made reconciliation with his brothers. To kiss the son, there has to be what between us? Reconciliation. There needs to be affection. The Lord says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But there is also a need of reconciliation. What I mean by reconciliation is, of course, the son hasn't wronged me. I've wronged him. And he is willing for reconciliation, but I need to kiss him to show that there is no animosity or rebellion against him. We find in the relationship of Ruth and her daughters-in-law in Ruth chapter 1 verse 9, the Lord grant you that you might find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Here we find love and affection. David and Jonathan had the same relationship. When David found out that Saul was trying to kill him and would kill him, Jonathan had to tell him about it. It's an unusual arrangement. I don't know why you would have to go out in the field and shoot arrows. There's probably a very good reason for doing that. Why didn't they just go out and, you know, have a prearranged meeting place and go out there and meet and let him know what the deal is? But anyway, we find here in 1 Samuel 20, verse 41, that David rose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself 3 times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded, or even more, David even more than Jonathan. And so here we find a mutual admiration between two people. I just think about the fact that the son places a value upon me. The son places a value upon you. You are worth a lot. That's the reason why Jesus Christ paid a lot, that we might have fellowship with him. And so therefore a kiss has to do with love and affection and our relationship with him. Then we find Paul and the elders at Ephesus. When they met him at the seashore, on the sea of the Mediterranean Sea, it tells us in Acts 20, verse 37, that they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. They loved Paul. Paul was their mentor. Paul was their teacher. Paul loved them. He gave himself for them. And they loved him, and they respected him. And it says they fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. I think this is a kiss of appreciation, a kiss of assurance of their relationship with Paul. And so again, it has to do with love and affection. In Genesis chapter 29, verse 13, we find the word kiss here, having to do with acceptance. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house, and he told Laban all things. Kissing the son has to do with acceptance. Not what the kings of the earth were doing. They were taking counsel to release their bands from them, and to not have to serve the Lord, and to be against him. But here we find Laban accepting Jacob, and he embraced him and kissed him. A kiss has to do with acceptance. Kissing the Lord means we accept him in our own life. I think about Joseph's sons. When Israel, or Jacob, blessed East Ephraim and Manasseh in Genesis chapter 48, verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Notice again the embrace and the kiss. To kiss the Son means that we have to be near him. When Laban kissed Jacob, he was near him. And so we need to be close to the Lord. We don't need to be walking afar off like Peter did when he was observing the Lord and his trial. We need to walk in the light as he is in the light. We need to have fellowship one with another. And the idea of going into the house as Laban invited Jacob in, it means fellowship, acceptance, fellowship. And of course Joseph blessed his grandsons, and he embraced them, he accepted them. In fact, in verse 5 of Genesis 48, it says, "Thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, they are mine. They are mine. And as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine." In Genesis chapter 27, verse 41, it says that Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother." Then when we find Jacob returning home, in Genesis chapter 33, verse 4, it says that Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know what that is? That's forgiveness. That's reconciliation. Esau forgave Jacob. The Son forgives us as well. And it noticed that he embraced him. There was a camaraderie there, a relationship of fellowship that Esau didn't have 20-some-odd years before, 21, 22 years before. But now that's all changed. So we find reconciliation and forgiveness. I think of the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son? Well, did the father kiss him? He sure did. And he killed the fatted calf. And we find that in Luke 15:20. "And he rose and he came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Reconciliation. To kiss the Son means reconciliation, confession of sin, submitting to the Lord's will in our life, not resisting Him, serving the Lord according to His will. Then I think of the woman that was a sinner in Luke chapter 7, where it says, "He turned to the woman and said unto Simeon, See thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and hath wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil didst thou not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with oil. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." I just think about this woman. She was forgiven. And she was pouring out her worship of Him upon Him. He says, "I came in. You didn't even have the courtesy to take the dust off my feet. You didn't give me a kiss of fellowship and acceptance." This woman has been. I don't know what it would be like to come into somebody's house and have somebody down on the floor kissing my feet. That it would be rather unusual, wouldn't it? It's hard to grasp that. But you know what? This woman had great sin in her life and had been forgiven. She appreciated what the Lord had done for her. Part of kissing the Son is appreciating what He has done for us. Now, Judas kiss. In Mark chapter 14, verses 44 and 45, it says, "And he that betrayed him hath given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and said, Master, Master, and kissed him." That's a kiss of deceit. When you kiss someone, what were you saying to that individual? You are worth something. I value you. I honor you. And here is Judas telling the Lord he is his master. That wasn't true. And he kissed him as one would do when you would invite him in for fellowship and for acceptance. He did not honor the Lord. In fact, I like what the Lord said in Luke chapter 22. Same account. It says, "While he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss? What are you doing?" A kiss is a relationship symbol. And what are you doing, betraying me with a kiss? I just got a greater appreciation of what Judas did by kissing the Lord. You know, we just read that sometimes glibly, that, you know, he went up there and he gave him a peck on the cheek, and to say that this is the guy. But you know what? Judas was deceitful. That kiss did not mean all that it is supposed, that a kiss is supposed to mean, as we have gone over already. We looked and we studied in 1 Thessalonians about greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I think sometimes, you know, I do believe that the Word of God allows for cultural differences. Obviously, we are not like in the Middle East. We are not pecking each other on each side of the cheek. But we do offer an embrace. We do offer a handshake. And I do think that those symbols, that symbol, particularly in a setting of a church body, should carry the same significance of a kiss. Are we committed to each other as we should be? As we would be committed to the Lord? I just think about Onesiphorus, who searched out Paul in prison in Rome, willing to ruin his reputation, the possibility of being imprisoned himself, and he sought out Paul and found him and ministered to him. Was that the first time he had ministered to Paul? No. He had a testimony that he ministered to Paul when he was at his home church. I can't remember now right offhand where that was. But the point is that the Lord said, "May the Lord bless the house of Onesiphorus." Not just Onesiphorus, but "May the Lord bless the house of Onesiphorus." Did you know that your household can be blessed just because of your ministry to others? Not just you being blessed, but your whole household can be blessed. Isn't that exciting? I don't think I'd ever seen that before, but that's the way it was. I think that we need to place a greater emphasis on what we are doing when we are welcoming each other in the morning. When we receive an embrace, when we receive a handshake, is it a Judas kiss or is it the real thing? Commitment to each other. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Greet one another with a kiss of love." Love has to do with ministry. When I greet you with a handshake, that means that I am ready to minister to you whatever the situation should be or should dictate. And it says, "Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus." Amen. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 13, verses 11 through 12, it says, "Finally, brethren, farewell.
be perfect. A better translation, or the thought here, is to be joined together. This is not the Greek word telos, it's another Greek word entirely. This has to do with being joined together. Be of good comfort, or be exhorted. By the way, these are all commands. Be of one mind. What is the mind? What should be our mind? That we might stand in His presence approved. That's one mind that we need to have. Live in peace with one another. I think that has to do... We need to live at peace with each other. And that means reconciliation. I was reading in one of the commentaries that back in the early days, maybe after the apostolic age, that when the church had communion, the elements, they had a season of a holy kiss. What does that have to do? It has to do with reconciling any differences that anyone has in the congregation with anyone else. And of course they got away. What happened was that they decided that it looks like somebody's having too much fun kissing some other people, you know, kissing the opposite sex. So they divided it. Women on one side, men on the other side. And so then eventually it got down to where there was a separation between the laity and the clergy. It just kind of got out of control. But the point here is this. We need to be at peace. We need to be joined together. We need to be reconciled. We need to be exhorted. And it says, the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And the saints salute you. So I hope that you have a better appreciation of what kissing the Son means and what the holy kiss means to each of us in the fellowship. It has to do with reconciliation. It has to do with commitment. And can we give a Judas kiss? We sure can. But you know what? The Lord knows our hearts. And Jesus said to Judas, are you going to betray me with a kiss? I can't believe this. He didn't say that, but that's what he meant. He says, I can't believe this. And yet Judas was bold enough to do it. May the Lord help us not to be bold to give Judas kisses, or Judas embrace, or Judas handshake, if that's the way you want to put it. So what should we be doing? We should be honoring the Son with our lives. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. Help us to kiss the Son, knowing that judgment is coming. Help us to serve Thee with fear. Help us to honor Thee. Help us, Lord, to desire fellowship with You. That there can be reconciliation. That we will be as the prodigal son that will return to You. And that we can kiss Thee and honor Thee with our lives and our hearts. We know that many in the days of the Lord's ministry honored Thee with their lips, but their hearts were far from Thee. And we know that the kiss comes from the lips. And yet, as Judas kissed the Lord and betrayed Him, we can do the same to You and to each other. Bless the message to each of our hearts and help us, Father, to be committed to each other, that we need to be committed to You. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.